It is the very first Friday of the month of April. It is the day after April Fool's, right, Charles?
Indeed.
Yo, what did you
Indeed.
do for April
April
Fool's?
Fool's.
Do you actually ever prank your wife or your kids?
No, I never do that. I'm one of those boring type of guys that never do that.
No, I completely get you, hey? You're still tuned into Radio Pulpit on 657 AM, and this is I Am Live. And right now, we're having a lovely conversation with Angelo, who is joining us. Now, you have heard from Angelo before. He is a musician, and we've actually played his music right here on Radio Pulpit. And I think we've got, I'm not sure if he's going to be surprising us with any of his new songs that we can play in the near future. But what we're going to be doing tonight is just having a conversation with him about how it has been being a musician during this period of lockdown, and also this period of a pandemic that's been, you know, not just affecting the country but the world as a whole. How are you doing, Angelo?
Wow, thank you so much for having me, Given. Thank you, Shaw. It's really an honor and a privilege to be with you guys.
You are
I'm
most
absolutely
welcome.
so good.
You're most welcome. Hey, how has your last few, I suppose I should say your last few weeks of summer been? Because I know winter's coming in fast right now. Hey.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Look, when as far as the summer was concerned,
yeah.
I think the only thing that the enemy knows is hitting me with allergies. So the allergies, the sneezing was bad,
yeah.
But and people were cutting grass and the lawn. That usually is a big no-no for me. But otherwise than that, the summer has been good. I am a lot more bright in color.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of tan on me.
All
so
right.
I'm very close to yellow. So I'm very close to yellow because I didn't get any sun with the lockdown.
Oh, I see. Now, how long have you been a musician, Angelo?
How long have I been a musician?
Yes.
Look, sure, I think officially, yes, registered now about 2 years.
Okay.
But I have been in the music industry for all my life. I think I always have been part of music and a worship leader. I was full-time as a worship leader for 5 years. So before that, if I can just call it off, I think for all my life I've been in the music industry ever since high school. After high school, I immediately went into starting to perform at churches and at concerts and but officially as a registered musician with SAMRO and with all the legal authorities and the music industry, it's about 2 to 3 years now.
Oh, wow. That is incredible. You sound like music plays such a huge role in your life. Like, you don't even have to say it. I can hear it in your voice that this is like one of your music is like you. When you talk about music, it sounds like you're talking about one of your closest friends, right?
Definitely, definitely. I think given, you know, music is part of my genes, it's part of my DNA. I think the one thing that I always find is that music comes, the Bible says that a merry heart is good for the soul.
Yeah.
And I believe that music has the capabilities of actually changing an atmosphere.
I see.
So if you want to be sad, put on sad music.
Yeah,
music has been part of my life ever since.
In terms of your family background, do you come from a family that appreciates music, or did you discover music when you went to church?
No, it was I first discovered in my family.
Oh,
with my dad and my mom. So yes,
I always envy people like you, hey? I always, always envy them. Like, my mother was a choir conductor, and she also trained people she did vocal training as well. She was a teacher. So at the time when she was still doing teaching, she used to have these, you know, during break time, and then you have a choir at school.
Yes.
So she was responsible for training the choir team at her school. So that's as much as my exposure to music being in the family. That's as far as it goes. either than that, my family wasn't not really very musical, apart from my eldest sister who lives music, loves music, honestly speaking. So I envy you. I envy you. So tell us about about how your journey in the music industry has been, particularly during lockdown. Like, how was your 2020 as a musician?
Sure. It really has taken a different toll. It really has. I must say, I didn't think that one would be able to reach people any longer, because music is an expression of worship. Music is simply just one of the ways of how we can worship God. So for me, it is my best way of expressing. It's one of my best way of expressing my worship. And also, obviously, bringing people together into worship. But with this lockdown, it really has changed everything, because worship to me, it became more. It basically took it back to the foundations of what worship is all about, meaning that you have to do it personally within your closet, and within your own room, where there's nobody, but singing as if there is a crowd, as if you're going to perform or minister to a crowd, but knowing that now you are ministering to a heavenly host and a heavenly crowd. And that to me was a more intimate place of worship. That is the good part, what I can say, where the lockdown has taken my ministry and what I feel my worship, my music towards. And that is where it's just an audience of one, which is our Heavenly Father.
Yeah,
and for me it took me back. It took me back to the heart of worship.
I think you're bringing up such an interesting point, because it gets you to a place where you kind of question, why exactly do you do what you do? Are you doing it for people, or do you do it because you genuinely enjoy it? My goodness, like, I really love what you said, because it challenges a lot of us in the things that we love, in the things that we claim that we do for the glory of God. What would you do if you couldn't do it to anyone else? Like, would you sit down and take comfort in the fact that God finds joy in you just doing it by yourself alone? Oh my goodness, that is just magical, honestly speaking.
I'm fully behind you. No, I'm fully behind you on that part, because it has to be something intimate. And sometimes we as worshipers or musicians, we only want to worship when there's a stage.
Yes.
We only feel effective when there's a crowd. And yes, it is where you actually express, but it comes down to, who are we worshiping? Are you worshiping your music? Are you worshiping the songs that you're singing because you're sounding good on it? Or are you actually going to take out your guitar, or not even having a guitar, but opening up your mouth and just singing unto your Father at home? That to me is the intimate, it's almost the, what I can say is the holies of holies. It's you and God. No one else. Sure. The lights are all off. No mics, no nothing. It's just you and God. That to me is with the power of worship. That's where you have intimacy.
Yeah, I completely get you. Now, my question to you now would be this. Did you have any any feelings as though you were hindered during the lockdown? Like, were there any projects that you were looking forward to doing that you could no longer do?
Yes, of course. Like I say that, I actually had, there were some churches that had conferences or events that they were phoning me, but then they were telling me that because of the lockdown, they had to cancel. Because of, obviously, the president would change it every now and again, back to level 5, back to level 4. So it was difficult for the churches and for our communities to host events. And because of the fear of contracting the virus, and obviously making sure that we adhere to the regulations. So for me personally, it was very difficult, because the one day you would have an invite, the following day then it will say it's cancelled.
Oh, wow.
So it really has been very difficult. But I must say, when there was a sense of stability within the regulation, then I found out that people started using our social platforms as a superb way of connecting. And I have now recently had the honor and the privilege of having an online concert. And it was my first,
wow.
But it was so effective, I must say. I always used to say that it actually felt like I was singing in the shower because there was no one. I could only see myself, my screen.
Yeah.
But when you right at the end of your performance, then you will get the notes. The people that was just making comments, you know.
I mean, Charles and I are
quite different.
Yeah, Charles and I have a very different experience. I think Charles, you can agree that we're used to doing what we do, and it just imagining the audience, like they're not with us in studio, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Totally.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So I imagine that.
I feel it for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So for us, it was just business as usual. But I also can. Yeah. So, but I can also relate with what you're saying, right? With the fact that there was no audience. I mean, I did my first live performance last week Thursday, because we have an event every last Thursday of the month. So that was the first live performance I did since the lockdown. And honestly speaking, it was incredible. I loved it. I enjoyed it. And the adrenaline was just, oh my goodness. So I can completely relate with what you're saying, hey? And I'm really happy to see, because you know how sometimes here in South Africa, you can find that we tend to take the technologies that be for granted. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yes. Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had some guys from California that would actually be able to listen to my music.
Imagine.
Of which I had a live concert, I would only get to the people there in Marabastad.
Exactly.
Just the ones that's close to me, you know?
Mm.
And it has changed the way as how we can impact the nation and the world. I mean, if Jesus had social media, or if Jesus had Wi-Fi or a network, I don't think that the Bible would have been written taken so long, because it would have been so quick, because he could have just sent a WhatsApp to Paul to say, this is what you need to do, or whatever. But yeah, so we have to use what we have to our best of our abilities, and to touch the nation and reach what we have to give.
No, I completely get you. So let's talk a bit about what you've been busy with right now. I know before, I think it was either just before we got into lockdown or during when you released Daddy's Little Girl. And I can tell that Daddy's Little Girl is quite honestly a song that you're very emotionally attached to. So tell us a bit about your process in writing that song, and what does it mean to you? And why is it that it feels like a song that has stuck out, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Tell
it's
us
definitely
about it.
I think, you know, thank you so much. I think given the very first thing that I must say, that there's no greater testimony than your own testimony.
True.
There's no better message that you can preach or teach than yourself when you have personally experienced what you can say. Because to me, a song can be, I can sing a Fred Hammond song, I can do a Michael W. Smith song, I can do Planet Shakers, I can do Elevation Worship, but it's not my song. But when I sing something from the heart, so every time, and I know that the Bible says that the seasons for everything, according to Ecclesiastes, that there's a season and a time for everything. And during my time of missing my daughter, and the conversations that I used to have with my daughter, I went back to where I can express my feelings the best, and I went back to music. And that is how music affects. That's why I'm saying music is part of my life. If I feel like I want to say something, some people want to take it out other ways of frustrating or making their emotions known. But to me, I would find a guitar, or I find a piece of paper, and I start writing what I feel. And then afterwards, then I realize that this is actually making melodic sense as well.
Oh.
And when I start making melodic sense, then I put those puzzles together and I say, God, this is how I feel. And as a father, the Bible says that he is our good father. He's perfect in all of his ways. He's the ultimate father. He's our heavenly father.
Yes.
And we as fathers, we need to project the same love that he has towards us, towards our children.
Mm.
Because we are the image of a child, of a father, of a heavenly father that they haven't seen. So we need to direct our kids towards our father, which they cannot see, because they can see our earthly fathers.
Yes.
And that is my greatest echoing, or the message that I would like to echo, that we as fathers, we need to step up to the game. And a lot of fathers have got their children with them every single day. But when I hear how fathers can just drop them children off, the other day I went to a casino, and I actually found that there's a place, there's actually a place for children to play whilst parents go and gamble.
Imagine.
And I'm like, how can you do that?
Wow.
Now, for me, they don't understand the value of the time that they can have with their little ones that they call children, that they can have that place of influence. And I had that privilege, but unfortunately, it has been taken away from. And I don't have that much time spent that I can have with them. And that's when I realized you don't know what you have until it's gone. You know, you never miss your water until your well runs dry. And for me, it was just a place of reflection, of trying to remind to other fathers and parents as a whole that you, the influence or the impact that we have on a daily basis on our children, that I, as a father, don't have the honor and the privilege of expressing how I, or the giving them the guidance or whatever. I must make sure that the weekend that I have with them, I must make sure that I do best as far as possible that I can. But hence, Daddy's Little Girl has been written. It's simply just to express a father's love between his daughter and between his daughter and the daughter to the father.
Oh, my goodness. That is incredible, hey? And I think what you're voicing out right now really speaks to just how much art can actually spread a message that is very deeply embedded within us, right? Because I think for the most time, especially in the secular world, music has been used to spread the wrong messages, you know, sex appeal. It's, you know what I mean? It's been used to sell these lifestyle of cars and living in big houses. And that's what we end up, even though we don't say it verbally, but that cool lifestyle is what we end up aspiring towards. And I think I love the fact that you're reminding us as musicians and those of us who are aspiring to become musicians, because if you're a musician, whether you like it or not, you are on a pedestal in the sense that you will have some level of influence. It's you cannot avoid it. It's just, it goes hand in hand, right? And I think the message that you're sending out is one that we need so much, not just in this country. So it actually gladdens me that your music is going outside of South African borders, because then the message that you're sending out is a message that we need in many different continents. And I use continents on purpose, because it's not just countries that have a shortage of present fathers. Others, right? Awesome. So tell us a bit about what are you looking forward to for this year, especially with the expectation that the lockdown restrictions might go lower and lower. What are you looking forward to as a musician?
I think it's just a place where we can really, for me, like I said earlier on, that the lockdown has taught me to go back to the basics.
Yes.
And now once you have back to the basics, then you can take the road again, because you had the fuel, that you had your settings done. You are now, that you have an upgrade, a software upgrade, a spiritual upgrade that was done during that lockdown. So after this lockdown period, the sky is not just the limit, but we just need to give glory unto our God. And wherever platform we can, whether if it's online, whether if it's on a stage, whether if it's on a felt, whether if it's on wherever, but it simply just makes you so much stronger, because worship is not what we do on a stage, but it's what we do every single day. And for me personally, with this lockdown, if whenever things changes, the benefit or the blessing that we have is once again to influence.
Oh yes.
Any platform that we have to influence, and making sure that the message that we minister is a minister of hope, of love, and of peace. That comes from God. That's the only message that we could actually give. And with Daddy's Little Girl, it's so I thank God for the song, because it reaches beyond the church.
Yes.
People in the world, I could I actually send it to there's a one of my personal comedians,
yes,
Wayne Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether if you guys would know him, but he used to do Whose Line Is It Anyway, and he had a music video out also
mm-hmm.
about his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I, when I send him this via social media,
mm-hmm.
I could at least touch people that is not going to, I'm not going to tell them about Jesus and naming the word God and Jesus,
mm-hmm.
but I could speak about from a father's point of view and I could reach the world.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday or day before yesterday, I had a concert in the Department of Education and I could sing about Daddy's Little Girl. And
wow.
The music was accepted because it's not just from a church point of view.
Mm.
I'm not promoting a religion. I'm not promoting, but I'm voicing or echoing the love of a father.
I get
and
you.
Throughout that, that is the main thing, that love is God. God is love.
Mm.
And that is what I would like to encourage right now. But as a worshiper, trust me, I never knew I would write a song in this direction because right now it's reaching people outside of the borders of the church.
Oh, that is very powerful. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight, Angelo. And I quite honestly am looking forward to so much more that God has instilled within you. I know from our very last interview that we've done, I know that music is a very, it means a lot to you. So I look forward to your journey ahead and all the messages that God is going to instill within you. And I also love the fact that, you know, you're reminding us of the fact that the word is very important and preaching the gospel and preaching Christ is our number one mission. But we should not lose sight of the fact that it still matters to teach the world biblical principles. You know, just teach the world on how to be a father. You don't always have to.
Yes,
if they're refusing Christ, at the very least, teach them the things of Christ. And through those things, they can fall in love with Christ. Yes. So we are having a wonderful discussion with Angelo Faldane. You can follow him on his social platforms. It's Angelo Faldane on Facebook and Angelo Faldane on Instagram. So on Instagram, it's just one word. And then you can check out and follow his music. So we will be playing a song by him right after this. So do stay tuned for that.